Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. Stephen Shapiro is back, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen is an expert in creativity and innovation. His company is the 24/7 Innovation Group. He is the author of Goal Free Living, How to Live the Life You Want Now, and he's our friend, Stephen Shapiro. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. Stephen, I was telling the audience before you got here, when I was telling them you were going to be here and we were going to talk about this topic of making sure that your team is motivated and innovative and creative. And I said that that the enemy of creativity, the enemy of innovation, is uncertainty at a minimum and fear at a maximum. And as you know, you and I talked off the air for a few seconds earlier. There's still a lot of uncertainty. A year ago, there was a lot of fear, but today I think there's still, maybe the fear has morphed into uncertainty, and there's still a lot of that out there. And you know, if your company has made it this far through all the things that we've gone through, then you're obviously doing something right. You've got something you should be celebrating. And in that celebration, you might be able to slay some of that uncertainty. What do you think about that?
Well, I think absolutely true. I think there's sort of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs is at play. And people, creativity is certainly higher up on the scale than just, you know, getting the business job, getting the job done and keeping your job. I think too many people right now are just, with all the uncertainty and fear and everything else going on, creativity is just way too high on the Maslow's needs.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, here's a couple things that I do think. First of all, when communicating with people, you don't want to BS them, because well, people know the situation.
Right.
And there's so many studies that I've done and others have done that show that people will do everything in their power to address their pains before they will start to think about gains.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to worry about that.
That's the primitive reptilian approach to things, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And at the same time, this is, in some respects, and people have been saying this for ages, so this is not a new thing, but the companies that are smarter recognize that while everybody else is pulling back, this is a chance to sort of leapfrog the competition.
Well, see, that's the point I was making about if your company is still... You know, if you're still in business, and you know, isn't it time for us to differentiate between survival and now? Let's take advantage of some things. Let's get ourselves. If we found ourselves, if we've got some employees, some teams, or some elements of our business is still a little bit of a funk, it's obvious to me, Stephen, that we're going to have to get ourselves out of this. We're going to have to do it ourselves. Nobody else is going to help us. This is not, there's not some big tide that we're all riding on that everybody can latch onto. This kind of basically understood by everybody. My team, me and my team, we're going to have to come up with this on our own. And if we do, we should be able to then, as you said earlier, rise up to that creative level and start taking advantage of some opportunities. What do you think?
I think that's true, and if we come back to the pain versus gain, where most people are in pain right now, this is the time for you to actually listen to what your customers' pains are and be as focused and targeted as you can in addressing those pains. So if you look at the most powerful innovations right now, they will be things that take care of your customer.
I want to come back to something you just said, and I want to point this out, folks. Of all the things that you're going to hear anybody say on my show this week or this year, what Stephen just said is the most important thing. And do you remember what you said, Stephen? You said, listen to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
There is no quandary, in my opinion, Stephen, about which comes first, the chicken or the egg. It's the egg, and that is the egg. Listen to your customers.
Yep.
Everything else in your business flows in concentric circles around that, doesn't it?
Absolutely, because if you're coming up with new ideas that serve you, then it's not really going to sell. And the mistake some people make is they use a couple of examples like Google and Apple. They say, well, look, Apple, customers didn't want it. Apple created something that created demand. Yeah, how many Googles and how many Apples are there? I'm tired of hearing those companies that's used as the benchmark for creativity. They are unique. The average company, especially small businesses,
right,
don't have the power to do that.
That's exactly right. Hold on to that thought. We'll take a quick break, folks. Stephen Shapiro is our guest. We're talking about getting your company out of the doldrums into the creative level where you can find some real opportunity. 20 Tales, stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog, our knowledge base, askjim.biz is right there. You can read, you can listen, you can do a lot of different things there. If you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the sun, we got something that will help you there. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Stephen Shapiro is our guest, folks. Stephen is the author of Goal Free Living, and he's an innovation creativity expert. We've been talking about how to get that back into the attitudes of your employees. You know, Stephen, as we went to the break, we were talking about this, and you were saying that we're talking about creativity, and there are lots of different kinds of creativity. I mean, there's the big picture creativity, which typically comes from some kind of a planning strategy, you know, set out by the leaders of the company. But there's also the micro creativity, isn't it? Where the people doing the jobs down at the where the rubber meets the road, there's also creativity there, and that's a whole other level of productivity, isn't it?
Well, and that's really what you need. I mean, the problem is most organizations, innovation is an event. I mean, it happens when somebody decides that they want to be innovative, and then they try to rally the troops around it. And, you know, my thought is you need to treat innovation like a capability, which really says, look, we want everybody in the company to be participating, and we need to figure out a way of making it sustainable, repeatable, and predictable, just like every other part of the business. They don't sell on, you know, the fifth Friday. They sell every day. So how do you get that kind of mindset inside of an organization is what I really try to focus on.
What are the chances, though, that a lot of the problems that companies have in accomplishing what you're talking about is not at the rubber meets the road level, the folks, but at the top, whether the owner, you know, he or she knows what the financial situation looks like, and it may be okay or may not be okay, but doesn't the attitude of the organization, doesn't that largely come from the top?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the top sets the tone, and the issue is you can have creative people who are coming up with ideas, but if you don't have an organization that is receptive and has the mechanisms for it being able to accept those ideas, then you actually squash creativity to the point where nobody will provide new ideas, and it is the top of the organization that tends to provide the tone and the financing and helps define the processes and everything that will help enable that creative.
So how do we get that into our organizations? How do we build that?
Well, that's easier said than done, because it is about changing the mindset of the top executives in many situations and having them value what innovation can bring to them. You know, as you and I talked about right now, the economy is largely, any boost that we've seen have been largely done by cost cutting.
Right.
And I think what companies are going to start to see in the very near future, those that aren't investing in innovation and valuing that, whether it's big change or small change, to me doesn't matter, but growth, top line focus, you know, we're going to see another downturn. And so I think now more than ever we need this.
Well, I still think that companies are maybe squandering Even as maybe as and of course, as you know, you and I have talked about this before. A lot of companies are doing just fine, but there's still a lot of challenges out there. But you know, if you've made it this far, isn't that something to celebrate? And shouldn't you be saying, okay, what is it about us? What is it about our organization that's allowed us? Let's identify the things that have allowed us to survive to this point. Let's identify them. Let's recognize them as something that's kind of special, at least in our organization. And how do we leverage that? How do we maximize that attitude, those practices, those fundamentals, those assets? How do we leverage that? Whatever it is that's made us, has helped us survive, how do we take those obviously good things and help us take this company to the next level? Is that not a good way to approach this with your people?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, one of the things which I always tell people is you don't want to be innovative everywhere. What you need to do is figure out what your differentiator is, what separates you from the competition in the same space, and focus your innovation efforts there, not dissipate them throughout the organization and everything that the company does. Now, and the great thing is when you get very clear about what you do best, what, you know, beats the competition, then you have other options. And one of the things which I've spent most of my time on now is the area called open innovation, which actually recognizes the fact that companies can be good at only certain numbers of things. Therefore, how do you open up your business to get other types of partners to help you out in the areas which are not your differentiators? They may be important to your customers, but they might not be your core strength.
You're talking about outsourcing, aren't you?
Well, not necessarily even outsourcing. I mean, the most interesting part of open innovation one of the things that I do is I work, for example, with a company called Innocentive, which is actually the largest place. And if you have a challenge, so let's say you're trying to develop a chemical compound and you don't know how to develop it, or you don't want to develop it internally because it's not your differentiator, you can actually post it on the website. There's about 250,000 people who will take a crack at solving it, only if you get a successful solution.
Well, and of course, I hear what you're saying. When I understand that when you're thinking innovation, you don't like to think about it in terms of outsourcing. But basically, that's what you've done. You've allowed other people outside of your organization to use their core competencies to help you acquire something that's not your core competency.
Using that definition of outsourcing, it's absolutely
which great. Is the essence of outsourcing. We're going to talk some more about this. Oh, it's fascinating, folks. This open innovation. I like the way he's thinking about this. Let's think about this some more after these messages and see how we can apply it to your business. Tintail, stay with us. Stephen Shapiro is our guest. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Stephen Shapiro, the author of Goal Free Living. Stephen, tell us how we can find you online and how we can find your book, too, please.
The easiest way is steveshapiro.com, S-H-A-P-I-R-O. And also, Jim, just to let you know, I have another book coming out in October. So that'll be very exciting.
What's it called?
It's called Personality Poker, and it's actually based on about 10 years of research I've done on creating diverse innovation teams and how to maximize performance of innovation inside of an organization. So it actually comes with a deck of these specially designed poker cards.
Well, we expect to launch that book on the show.
I sure hope so. I'd love it.
Let's make a plan for that. I want to come back to your innovation ideas, open innovation. That's what you called it.
Right.
I like that idea, and see, I'm being a little prosaic and pedestrian probably when I use the term, when I use outsourcing, but the thing is, the thing that what you're talking about has in common with what I'm talking about is recognizing what your core competency is, what makes you different, what makes you unique, and you focusing on that and maximizing that. And these other things that you need to have done that you're not all that competent at, letting other people do that. That's, in my opinion, one of the keys to success in the 21st century.
Well, and especially for small businesses. Small businesses have limited resources, limited budgets, and if you try to dissipate that and try to handle everything, you're not going to be good at nothing and, you know, mediocre at everything. So for small business, I think it's fundamentally critical. Big businesses, you know, could probably ride the wave without doing it, but even they're going
to
find it difficult.
But they're doing that, though. And see, that's, to me, Stephen, the reason this is so exciting to me is because big businesses are doing what you're talking about. And that's the reason why small business is flourishing, because they're letting small businesses do a lot of those things for them.
Exactly. Well, in fact, a lot of these, when you do open innovation types of things, like I was talking about before, where people solve problems, there are people, it's not even just small businesses, it's individuals. Some people have actually left their jobs to do nothing but solve these types of problems, because
right.
there's actually enough money out there to create a whole new economy.
Now, when you're managing your team, though, if this is the direction you're moving in, you've got to train your team to not only work within themselves, inside your four walls, you've got to train them to collaborate with these other teams too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, and it's a whole different skill, because you're going to be getting new ideas and new solutions from other places.
Right.
To figure out how to integrate them into what you're doing.
Including those cultures and those personalities.
Absolutely. And one of the challenges, I mean, look at what happened with Toyota. I mean, that wasn't Toyota's accelerator that's the problem. It was actually a third party. So
right.
there are inherent challenges associated with this concept. However, I don't think companies are going to succeed in the long run if they don't take advantage of collaboration, outsourcing, open innovation, crowdsourcing,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to call it. This is the way that companies are going to compete.
Well, and it's also very much part of the global marketplace too, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, let's face it, you can get work done for less money somewhere else, and the amount of overhead associated with smaller businesses is much lower than the overhead associated with a larger business. So if you can get individuals, if you can get people from other countries, if you can get small businesses to do the work, they could probably do it for pennies on the dollar, not just because of cost of living and currency, but also just because of the inherent structure of a smaller business as opposed to a larger business.
Well, and where this is fitting in perfectly with our current conditions, current situation in the economy right now, Steve, is that this is the direction that I've been predicting people with to my audience, the way the marketplace is going to recover and how jobs are going to recover. The first thing that we're going to see is not that your company or my company are going to be hiring new people, but you and I are going to be entering into contracts with other companies, and they're going to hire people to support us. That's going to be the next – before you and I hire people for our own businesses, we'll be hiring people to support other companies.
Well, the temp industry is always usually the first one to recover. People recognize they
yep.
need the resources, but they
mm-hmm.
don't want to put them on the payroll. And that's certainly one way, and I think we're going to see it in a lot of different ways. I think what's going to happen is, though, we're going to move away even from the temp agency model, or, you know, another company hiring people on our behalf, to really, I mean, what Dan Pink called the free agent nation. I think we
yeah.
are going to see a bunch of individuals, and I think that the economy is going to come back, and
the
stock market's going to back one at a time.
That's right. Well, that's a 21st century phenomenon. You're exactly right. And by the way, we introduced that book on the show over 10 years ago. Stand by. Actually, I got to go, Steve. Got to wrap it up. We've run out of time. Time flies when you're having fun. Thanks for being here. Give us that website one more time quickly.
All right, Jim, steveshapiro.com.
Thanks for being here. Steve Shapiro, folks, he'll be back. I promise. I will be too after the news. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.